Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Job. Job is a part of the wisdom literature, so that when we see things come out of a book like Job and Psalms, Ecclesiastes, what their authors are getting at are deep and long truths that are applicable for life. And in this particular case, Job is not speaking of the verses that I chose, but it's actually a man named Elihu who came to comfort Job. First came three friends, and they were really comforting until they opened their mouths. Yeah, 90% of helping is just showing up, okay? You don't always have to say something, because usually what happens is foot and mouth disease after that. But Elihu comes and he starts listening to the conversation that the three are laying on Job, that it's all Job's fault, that he finds himself in the circumstances that he's in. And Elihu gets a little bit righteously indignant, and he says this in chapter 37, verses 22 to 44. Out of the north, he, that is the Lord, comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. Therefore, people revere him. For does he not have regard for all the wise in heart? Out of the north he comes in golden splendor, in awesome majesty. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The title of the message is the same as VBS, True North, Trusting Jesus in a Wild World. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, back in ancient history, that is when I was young. When I was young, we had a compass, and just kind of like what we saw this morning with the kids, and you know, got taught that a compass always points towards true north. Now, I learned some of this in the cadet program. Again, ancient history, that's a long time ago. But something I never forgot that our counselor Ed did is with a compass, he had brought along a magnet. And when he put the magnet close to the compass, it just started spinning, right? The magnet caused it to spin. And so the compass itself lost bearing of true north, because of the interference caused by the magnet. And I've always remembered that as kind of an illustration of life, of how even though we want to set ourselves on true north, that is, on our God, oftentimes there's many things that can be like the magnet and kind of make the needle spin wildly on the compass when they come close. Well, these days, we almost all have a cellular phone which has a compass application, as well as applications to guide us to our destination with the global positioning system, the GPS. For most of us here, there's little need for us to own an old-style compass. But the point remains until this day. Without the knowledge of where true north is, one can easily lose their bearings on where they're trying to go. So we all need a fixed, solid point to guide us. Now, I have very little need this morning to explain to all of you that we live in a wild world. There are wars, there are economic uncertainties, there is sickness, there is sexual confusion, there is economic uncertainty, excessive wealth placed in the hands of a few, while billions of people live in abject poverty. In the midst of all this, what is a person to do? It can easily be that the needle on our compasses are spinning around. What compass will we look to so as to guide us in a good way to go? Well, the Bible provides for us both good instruction and wisdom for how we are to find our way. The biblical book of Job contains the story of a man who may have lived even before Abraham, Father Abraham, more than some 4,000 years ago. In the first verse of the book, it's noted that he was a man who was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. In this, his life drew attention from a singular figure called Satan. And the word Satan in the Hebrew means adversary or accuser. When all of heaven showed up one day and presented themselves before the Lord God Almighty, this Satan also showed up as well. And the Lord asked Satan if he had noticed this fellow Job who really loved God. In fact, Satan had taken note of Job and he argued with the Lord. He argued that Job loved God because of all the good things that God did for Job. That was the basis of Job's love. So a challenge came about. Job was given over to Satan for a series of tests. And in doing so, Job was taken on a wild ride where his understood bearings were all spun around. Suffice it to say that he lost his children, he lost his wealth, and he lost his general status in society. And after losing all his worldly possessions, then his health was severely afflicted as well. And all of this left him stunned. And I think even more than that, it left him numb. At first, the three friends showed up to comfort Job. They sat quietly with him for 7 days. Seems almost unimaginable, but for 7 days they sat in silence. And then they began to try to explain to Job why he was in the mess that he was in. And their counsel was not well received by Job, and later nor by God. Then a fourth friend showed up, and he spoke well of God in regards to Job's trials. His wisdom was later affirmed by the Lord himself. I've already read a small portion of the larger wisdom sayings, but I'll read it here again. Out of the north, he, the Lord, comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. And in his justice, which is in one hand, and his righteousness, which is in the other, he is perfectly balanced, and he never oppresses. Therefore, people revere him, for does he not have regard for those who are wise in heart? And ultimately, Job was wise in heart. In the midst of his tumultuous troubles, Elihu held the compass of life in front of Job and the three other friends so that they might not miss their true bearing. Out of the north, God comes in all his majestic glory. If there were ever a true bearing to be taken in life, it would be the Lord of heaven and earth. His power is in perfect balance between justice and righteousness, and his regard is for all who have fixed their compass upon him. This ancient wisdom still speaks today. As a matter of fact, the Vacation Bible School students who will be participating in the event this week in this marvelously decorated church, they'll get a chance to learn about the one true compass of life. With all the confusion that abounds in our world, the volunteers here have an opportunity to give each student a compass that will point them to the true north for an entire lifetime. The journey each day will supply the students the needed tools and instruction to always find this true north, even when the compass of life seems to be spinning crazily around in circles. The teachers and staff this week are entrusted with the task to speak as Elihu did to Job and to his three friends. Their attention will need to focus on the message of the one that God sent into the world to set our lives on track to be in relationship with the Almighty. The teachers will need to begin by cultivating the curiosity of the students to wonder, where is wisdom for life to be found? Who does actually speak for God? What message can we learn so as to find God? And by setting our course on true north, how will our lives be changed? Will everything just be wealthy and prosperous after we do that? These questions and more will draw the children into a place where they can begin to know for themselves the way of Jesus. This introduction on day one will not seek to rush them along, but will draw them along and lead them behind so that none are lost, that all begin to see. The journey begins with listening and encouraging the students in the way of wisdom. On the second day, the message of finding true north centers on helping the students realize that they have a need. Oftentimes, people don't think that they have a need. They think they're just fine the way that they are. Like us as adults, children and youth too can carry many burdens in life. We can be weighed down even without realizing it. The wildly spinning compass of this world draws the attention of both church and community children in every direction. But all good teachers know that slowly but surely attention must be redirected to our true north. Jesus brought this message home, and in the time he walked this earth, we see that when God took on flesh, he was able to speak into our very lives and souls. He said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden light." I may not know everything about everyone here today, but I know myself. Life has a way of throwing challenge after challenge my way. Sorrow so easily creeps into my being that I can hardly bear upon its weight sometimes. Who here hasn't faced the burdens that Jesus has spoken of? The heartbreaking loss of a child, a sibling, a parent, or a friend. Who has not found that while our health is fine one day, the next we seem to be unbelievably ill? Who has not faced an economic problem that threatened them with ruin? Who has not known smooth sailing in life until suddenly they find themselves in the grip of a tremendous storm of life? Who has not had a relationship with someone that we love that was upended by conflict? Burden after burden seems to be relentlessly falling upon our already weighted lives. The prophet Job was intimately familiar with what I'm talking about here. One day all was going along well, and the next his children, property, and life were all gone, just like that. And then his health went to pot as well. And on top of that, his wife implored him to curse God and die. That could be the antithesis of wisdom. You know, sometimes it's easy to think that there is no God and he doesn't hear us. And like Job's three friends, it's easy to blame God and that we think we deserve better all the time. But thankfully, Job did not curse God, and thankfully, he did not die. When we are powerless, when we are in our most troubled time, when our compass seems to be spinning around in circles nonstop, God does his best work. When we are lost and seemingly alone and abandoned, God is always with us. In Matthew 8, there's a story of a Roman centurion who came to Jesus for help. His beloved servant was paralyzed and suffering terribly. The Gentile foreigner asked Jesus to heal his servant, and Jesus asked if he should come to heal the man. Should I come now? Should I come immediately? You know, and the man replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Wow. In response, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and he said to those who were with him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. In other words, I haven't found anyone else who has so firmly and solidly found their true north, if you will. I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west, and they will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Just the word of Jesus categorically told the military officer that his heart desire would be so, and it was. His servant was healed. That's why we need to encourage the children this week to have courage in the face of life's challenges. In the Greek language, the word for encouragement and the word for Holy Spirit come from the same root word, para for paraklesios. Encouragement from God is when the Holy Spirit comes alongside us in our troubles and in our lostness, and he holds us and he leads us and he guides us gently back to the Almighty. And this week, the VBS staff will have the opportunity to do the same. Oh, maybe churchgoers are of the opinion that this can only happen if people come to the church. But can also happen when we go to others around us. The world today needs the church to get out of the church. I'll say that again. The world today needs the church to get out of the church. The compasses of the people of this world are wildly spinning around the 360 degrees of the circle. And the Lord wants us, his people, to get out of our comfort zones and to meet people where they are in their lostness. Yes, we thank God for the children coming to church this week. Yes, we pray that their families will be touched by what goes on and that they will join maybe this group or another group of worshipers of the Lord Almighty. We trust our teachers and leaders to share the everlasting good news of the God-man Jesus who died and rose from the dead. We need all the children to hear once again that we don't live to see who accumulates the most toys, nor to see who gets the best grades at school, or to see who can get the most promotions at work, or who can win the most sports trophies. The Creator of all things wants us to respond to his call to be in relationship to him. And that's the key to getting the message of God out in the world. One of the mistakes the Jews thought to be true in Jesus' day was that God was only interested in them, that they were the frozen chosen, if you will. The peoples of all the nations, well, they weren't so much the chosen of God. Non-Jews were not chosen to be a part of Abraham's family like the Jews were chosen to be. Yet the truth was, some Jews understood that the chosen people were not chosen just for their own comfort or for their own safety, but were chosen to declare the message of God to the nations. For example, the psalmist declared in Psalm 9, "Sing the praises of the Lord enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done." Psalm 22, "All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over all the nations." Psalm 45, "I will perpetuate your memory, O King, through all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever. Amen." And my favorite, Psalm 67, "May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you." And then Psalm 96, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people." Now, I could go on and on. There's other passages I could bring to your attention, but we need to keep moving. But before I move, one more from the Gospels, from Matthew. Matthew, quoting from Isaiah, his 42nd chapter, "In his name, that is the Lord's, the nations will put their hope. In his name, the nations will put their hope. When all else fails, when the compass is spinning around in circles, when everything seems to be wild and out of control," the prophet Isaiah said, and Matthew quoted, "that the nations will put their hope in him." How can the nations... How can Canadians put their hope in God if it is not us who tells them about the Almighty? We, like Job's friend, must speak of whom we know and have come to believe, and so in whom we have trust. God is not going anywhere. He remains the true north for the peoples of this world, no matter what nation they come from. Just before his ascension into heaven, Jesus told his disciples these words, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." That's very interesting. Therefore go. The mission of the church is to go and do our Lord's bidding here on earth. Even like Job, we too will have times in our lives when we are spun around and the compass points are unsure where they really are. But despite this, Jesus told his disciples that he would never leave them and they would never, ever forsake them. And best of all, Jesus said, "Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." As Elihu reminded beaten down Job, "Out of the north he comes in golden splendor." Yes, Jesus is our true north. And he invites us to set our life's bearings on him from beginning to end. Let us pray and remember to continue to pray for the labors of all the teachers and staff who will be making this Vacation Bible School this week a wonderful experience for the children of the church and the community, showing them true north, trusting Jesus in a wild world, making it a real blessing to all who hear of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, you are our true north, and in you we place our trust. You are the compass that guides us through all the ups and downs and the lefts and rights of life. You are the one who continues to walk alongside us even when we don't think that you are there. In your goodness and in your graciousness, in your righteousness, you carry us along and give us the strength that we need to continue to live out our days in a living testimony of faithfulness to you. Lord, we as a congregation this morning pray for all the staff and all the teachers and all the people who have done even the littlest thing to make this coming week a great success and the proclamation of your great name to all the nations. We pray, O God, that you might bless all these people with your strength and wisdom as they teach, as they hand out snacks, as they guide people to the right class, as they do all the things necessary in singing your praises to you. Lord, we thank you for those who have volunteered. We thank you that out of so much that has been given, many want to take the time to give back and serve you in this. But also, God, remind us to remember that not only coming to the church, but also going out and being the church in the world is of utmost importance. Lord God, the nations need your word. Canadians need your word. And we are the means that you have chosen for us to disseminate that good word into the world today. Help us to do so by the strength of your and the power of your Holy Spirit. In our Lord's name we pray. Amen.